Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. Although, well, we have very few with us this morning. We're 30 down from where we were last week. So I guess the rain put everybody to sleep. Well, anyway, we're doing a series on Sunday mornings titled Why, and we're just asking some why questions. And the question we want to ask today is this: why did Jesus have to die? Not why did Jesus die? That's a different question. Why did Jesus die? He died to fulfill Isaiah 53, the passage we just read. Right? Why did he have to die? To fulfill Psalm 22. To fulfill Psalm 16. To fulfill Genesis chapter 3. And on and on and on. And so we're asking the question, why did Jesus have to die? And in order to understand this question, you must understand three things. Number one, the nature of God. Number two, the nature of sin. And number three, the nature of man. You have to understand these three things in order to understand why Jesus had to die. So let's talk about the first one. Let's talk about the nature of God. What is the nature of God? When we read the Bible, we see that the nature of God is manifold. God has many attributes. He doesn't have just one attribute. I've had people come up and say, how can a good and loving God send people to hell? How can He do that? And my response is, well, I don't know exactly how a good and loving God does it, but I know how a just God does it. He's not just loving, He's not just good, He's also just. And it's important that we understand this. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 4 says, "The rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and just is He." Our God is a just God. He is a righteous God. That's the way He is portrayed in Scripture. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous so that He will forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so as we consider the nature of God today, we need to consider that God is a God of justice. And to say that God is omnipotent and infinite is not to say that God can do anything. He is limited so that He can never act inconsistently with His nature. You see, God cannot lie, the Bible says, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Not because He doesn't have the power to formulate a falsehood. Clearly He does. He cannot lie because He is truth. And a lie would be inconsistent with truth, and God can never act inconsistent with His nature. He must always, always be consistent with His nature. Because God is just, those who violate His law must be punished. Must be. He doesn't have a choice. Because if He's a just God and He doesn't punish sin, He's not just. A just God will punish sin and wrongdoing. Nahum chapter 1 verse 3 says, God will not at all acquit the wicked. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 20, the soul that sins, it will die. And so our God is a just God and He punishes sin. So why is it? You know, we think, we want earthly judges to execute judgment when we're wrong. So someone, for example, murdered a member of your family, and they went to court, and the judge said, oh, I'm just a loving judge. I'm just loving. I can't send anybody to prison for life, and I certainly can't send them to the electric chair, so I'm just going to let him go, and y'all have a good day. That would not fly, right? You would be livid if a judge did that, just let him walk because he's a loving judge. He can't put a man in prison. He can't put a man on death row. You see, we want our earthly judges to be just and to judge. But when the King of Kings and the Judge of Judges judges, we have a problem with that. That's inconsistent. You see, God must punish those who violate His will. The Bible says the soul that sins will die. The wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And so God doesn't have a choice but to punish sin. He don't have a choice. His nature demands it. His nature demands it. If He doesn't execute justice, He's not the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible is a God who is just and executes perfect justice. The Bible says that we're all guilty of sin, every one of us. And so a critical question comes up: how can a just God save sinners without violating His justice? And we're talking about that today. But that's a good question. How does a just God not punish us and maintain His justice? That's what we're talking about. But we need to understand the nature of God. God is a just God. Because God is just, He must punish sin. He must punish wrongdoing. He has no choice. He cannot get around it. He has to do it. God is a just God. Number two, the nature of sin. The nature of sin. Let's look at a couple of verses. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 says, "Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." And then Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You see, we need to see sin as it really is. And sin is the transgression of the creature against His Creator. That's what sin is. Sin is an offense against God. It's not an offense against man. It's an offense against God. Sin is the transgression of the creature against His Creator. You see, God gave His law. He gave a system of conduct. And man decided that, "I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to live however I choose to live." And man does that. He lies. He cheats. He steals. He kills. He does all kinds of evil. That's man. But this, when he does this, this is an offense against God. You see, sin is not only a violent rejection against God's law, but it is also a violent rejection against God. Sin is repudiation of the Creator. And we don't see sin right until we see sin against God. And this is an important point. We do not see sin right until we see it against God. David said in Psalm 51, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned." Well, what about Bathsheba? What about Uriah? What about that? Sin is against God. And that's what we need to see. It is against God. I don't sin against man. When I sin against you, it's because I sin against God. God's the one that says that's a sin when I act in a certain way toward you. It's not sin because of you're a human. It's sinful because God says it is sinful. What about Joseph? Right when Potiphar's wife was trying to play on him, and he says, "You know, how can I do this great evil and sin against my God?" Joseph even knew that sin was against God. It's not just a violation of law. It's not just breaking a law over here. It is an offense against God Himself. And until we see sin in that light, we don't see sin the proper way. And because of sin, God has taken away man's right to live. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, and you were dead in your trespasses. Right? And so before you were made alive in Christ, you were dead. How were you dead? In sin, the Bible says. You see, sin separates man from God. James says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So when you take the spirit and remove it from the body, there's death. When God removes his spirit from our spirit, there's death. Death is separation. And separation occurs because of sin. Isaiah 59 verse 2, he says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sin has hidden his face that he will not hear. And so sin separates us from God. Those who are separated from God in sin are dead, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And those who die in their sins will be eternally separated from God. Eternally, with no hope of ever having a relationship with God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 8 and 9 says that when Jesus comes back, he's coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God. Those who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, these will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And so if you die in your sins, the separation that exists due to sin will be eternal. Eternal. And so here's something you need to take note of. Sin is going to be punished in one of two places. Hell or the cross. Hell or the cross. And hell means you're going to pay the penalty. At the cross, Jesus pays the penalty. That's the difference. But sin will be punished in one of two places, either hell or at the cross. So let's think about the nature of man for just a moment. In Genesis chapter 2, we read this in verses 16, 17. It says, for the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For on the day that you eat of it, you will certainly die. So what do we see here about the nature of man? We see that man is a free moral agent, that he has the ability to make choices, right? God gave him this ability, and this is important. Man is not a robot. Man is not a puppet. He has free moral agency. He has the ability to make choices. And so, in that ability to make choices, sometimes we make the wrong choices. Sometimes we make bad choices. And when we sin against God, that's a bad choice. But here's the thing. Sometimes people will say, well, Ray, why did God make man if he knew that man was going to sin and he would therefore be separated from God, and some of those who wouldn't accept the grace in Jesus will then be eternally damned to hell forever? Why would God do that? That's the question that some people have. Well, you got to don't forget the fact that God made man a free moral agent. That man chooses hell. Hell is man's choice, not God's choice. You don't have to go to hell. Nobody has to go to hell. Except Christ, your sins are forgiven and there's no hell. It's really that easy. It's a choice. And so, we choose Jesus. So let's put all of this together. And I want to go to Romans 3 as we do so, but also want to go back to the question, how can a just God save sinners without violating his justice? Because if he's just, sin must be punished. There's no way around it. How does he get around not punishing us? Romans chapter 3 gives us that answer. Look at verse 23. we're familiar with that verse. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice verse 25. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate, here it is, His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. How does God save sinners without violating His just nature? The answer is Jesus. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus paid the penalty. God didn't, deny sin. He didn't turn His head. He didn't look the other way. He didn't act like it didn't happen. It happened. And He sent His Son. And His Son went to the cross. And on the cross, He died for you. He was just. He was just. He had no sin. The Hebrew writer said very clearly, He had no sin. He was just. So the just one goes to the cross, pays the penalty for the unjust ones, and when He pays that penalty, then you become a just one. You're unjust, you become just through Jesus Christ. This is how God saves sinners without violating His just nature. He still remains just because sin was paid for. It was just paid for by His Son instead of you. That's why I said sin is going to be punished in one of two places, hell or the cross. Hell or the cross. That's the two places. Where do you choose for sin to be punished on your behalf? I hope you choose Christ. I hope you choose Him, because only in Him and through Him do you have hope. Only in Him and through Him can you be declared righteous. Can't be declared any other way. And I do want to read one other verse out of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verses 16, 17. This is the whole thesis of the gospel, of this particular letter that Paul writes. He says in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Notice verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. And so, in the gospel is God's means of making men righteous. The gospel. The gospel is the means of making a person righteous. If you obey the gospel, then you are declared right in the presence of God. If you've never obeyed the gospel, then you're not right in the presence of God, and you need to obey the gospel. And so this morning, we're going to offer an invitation. If you need Jesus this morning as your Savior, you've never accepted Him by faith before, this morning we urge you to come. If you have any other need, make it known as we stand and sing.